Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week where you download the Crazy Sheets, you get your favorite podcasting app out, you get you something to drink, whether you're going to work or you're sitting at home getting ready for some Thursday night football, and we talk about some college football gambling. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, otherwise known as my backyard, and Scotty is out on the road. Scotty, how the hell are you, and where the hell are you this week?
Man, I'm great. I'm land of the hogs, baby.
Vietnam.
Northwest Arkansas. Vietnam, little Vietnam. I like it up here. It's a great town.
Very pretty city. Great looking campus. If you get a chance to go visit ever, fantastic place. Leach still has my favorite comment about playing a game in Arkansas back when he had to play a game in Little Rock, and that whole stadium's made of concrete. And he said, I felt like I was playing a game in somebody's basement. He goes, just everything's just echoing off all kinds of places. But Arkansas fans are great fans. They couldn't get it done last week. They kind of had to come back down to reality a little bit. But, Scotty, so did we. 2-5-1 last week. Took it on the chin, my friend.
Took it on the chin. Let a couple of – just a few hook losses. What are the difference? I'm going to tell you, this is the time of year Vegas gets dialed in. This last week and the next 2 weeks – are the roughest weeks for me traditionally gambling. They get wired in, man. They know what's going on. And man, it's just, you'll lose a lot of games by the hook, a lot of games by point, you know, things like that. And you just gotta grind through it and keep battling, baby.
That's exactly right. Scott, let's recap real quick last week. A couple of things. I was in Baton Rouge, the LSU game. If you're an LSU Tiger and you're an LSU Tiger fan, there is hope at the end of the tunnel, because I'm pretty sure you are watching the last season Ed Orgeron is going to coach at LSU. Man, that team cannot run the ball. And poor Max Johnson. I love that kid. He seems like a great guy, tough as a nail. And he is just out there slinging it and just can't get it done. That team is so broken. And you came up with a stat today when you and I were talking about putting the show together about Orgeron. What's his record without Joe Burrow? It's something crazy.
My man, Fast Eddie Orgeron, is one game under 500. Now, remember, he just coached at LSU. He was the interim at USC, and he was the head coach at Ole Miss. He is one game under 500 as a head coach without Joe Burrow. And, oh, by the way, his LSU record represents the same thing. He's basically a 500 coach. I think he's one game over 500 without Joe Burrow at LSU.
That's crazy. It's like we talked about.
Anybody that thinks that guy's the right guy for LSU is more.
I had an interesting conversation this week with a guy on Twitter, West Coast guy. He's been listening to podcasts for a lot of years. We've never met in person or talked, but we've chatted for hours on games because, you know, I don't get to see all the West Coast news and keep up with. And one of his good friends, he said one of his college buddies, is a coach's agent. He wouldn't tell me his name, but I guarantee he must be like the Jimmy Sexton of the West Coast, per se. If you don't know who Jimmy Sexton is, he's the agent for all the coaches in the SEC and some of the ACC.
He's the agent.
Yeah, I mean, he runs it all. Anyway, I asked him, so what's the rumor out west on who's going to get the USC job? And he told me, my buddy said that everybody is waiting on the top domino to fall. And I was like, what's that? And he's like, the LSU job. He said, it is known within circles that Orgeron will not be the coach at LSU next year. And when that job comes open, that's going to be the most coveted job for anybody to get. And then everything else will start dominoing down from there. And I thought that was really interesting. And this was before I had watched LSU and Auburn play in person. And then after watching it in person and then rewatching the game when I got home, it's true. I mean, he's a great position coach. I love the guy. He's a motivator. But that LSU team, offensively, they can't run the ball. You can't tell me you can't find a player in Louisiana that can't run the ball. And they've got offensive linemen who've been there. And so it's just broken. It's time to move on. I love the Natty. That was a fun year. But I'm past it with you with LSU. Staying out there and saving He's getting that thing back on the rails, and Bama's looking good, man. It's hard for me to believe that Bama's not going to make another run at the national championship.
You know, the only thing that athletic directors have to be careful of, and I think Florida is in danger of this, trying to keep up with Saban. You're not going to find Saban. You're not going to find the greatest coach in college football history. Those guys are generational. And trying to go look for that guy, like Florida fans are just like distraught. Like, mine's terrible. We lost to Florida. We lost to Florida twice. I feel like I'm talking, like when I talk to a Florida fan, I literally feel like I'm talking to retards. Like, he lost to Florida twice. He lost to Kentucky twice. It's like, what in the hell are you talking about? Y'all have wandered in the wilderness
for a decade.
I mean, seriously, minus Urban Meyer. That's it. He has taken y'all to the championship level 3 years in a row with a bunch of dudes who don't. Dan Mullen's never going to win a national championship at Florida. Just FYI. Not while Saban's there.
No.
And probably not while Kirby Smart's there, because he is not the guy who is willing to submit to what being a great recruiter takes. And I don't – it's not a shot at Dan. I really am not trying to take a shot at him here. And it's going to sound like a shot, but he's not willing to do that. He tells guys, we're going to work you. We're going to – everything he says in the recruiting process doesn't attract – the guy who thinks he's the end-all, be-all. It really doesn't. And everybody's like, well, he recruited great when he was in Florida. Yeah, because Urban Meyer was the guy recruiting. He was the guy calling the shots. You know, that's not who Danny is. But there's also not five guys in America who are better football coaches than Dan. Dan's a really good football coach. And I think he's got – I think he does have some issues recruiting, but he doesn't have any issues coaching.
No.
And I just think that so many schools get caught chasing Saban. Like, we got to be, we're not Alabama. We're not. Well, no. You're not the greatest coach that's ever been on the sideline. It's pretty damn high bar to me, you know? If you're trying to run your program to that, you're going to fail because you're going to constantly be chasing it. You know, Bama didn't know they had him when they hired him. They really didn't. I mean, and I just think that the average college football fan doesn't understand that this environment is moving. And Saban's got the ability to see around the corner like most great CEOs do. They see what's coming next, not what's right in front of them. And what I would tell college football fans is you see what's right in front of you. You don't see what's around the corner. And I just think when you got a really good football coach, and look, I got no ties to Dan. I think Dan's a dick, candidly. And that's the last guy I'd invite to my wine room. Like, seriously. And, you know, at the end of the day, but I do think he's a really good football coach. And I think Florida fans have got to understand we're competing against an anomaly, but we've got a really good football coach. But I also think that Dan has to humble himself and say, you know, whatever I'm doing, I'm not getting the top rated guys. Because I think if he gets the best players in America, they can win an Natty. But at the level they're recruiting, they can't win an Natty. Doesn't matter how good of a football coach he is.
No, I would agree with
that. They're always going to go 10 and they're going to go 11-1, 10-2. He's got to change. But I also think Florida fans need to understand there's a hell of a lot worse than 10-2 out there.
That's true. And I'll tell you who's going to be experiencing that this year is the Texas A&M Aggies. Because you want
to know that about it.
You want to talk about a team that came in with high expectations. I was hoping they would do well, to be honest with you. I have no angst towards the Aggies and Jimbo. I think them giving his contract extension was ridiculous, but I think they got spooked thinking that LSU was going to come after him at the end of the year. And maybe they are. I don't know. But that team was Zach Calzada.
They're not.
That broken offensive line is not good. There's a lot of people that were stoked about this game this weekend, thought this could be game day, big time. It was going to outdo the Red River Shootout. And that A&M team is just flat. I mean, there's no explosiveness. The defense is good, but they just can't hang on. And I'm not sure that Jimbo's scheme is evolving. And, you know, keep in mind, he had a fifth-year quarterback in mind, and they were still barely hanging on in some games. And so this year, I don't think they stand a chance on Saturday. We're going to talk about that later when we get into the picks. But that team's fallen off. You go all the way out west, you can talk about Oregon. I know Joe Moorhead didn't coach the game on Saturday. The offensive coordinator said he was sick. But Oregon cannot win. I don't think they can win the Pac-12 with Anthony Brown as the quarterback. He can't throw the ball. And it's obvious that they can't do it out there. And I think teams are starting to figure that out, obviously, and they're going to be able to shut that offense down.
I will tell you that I think they win that ball game if Moorhead's there. And I don't think anyone, you know, thinks that, you know, is misled by they had some poor play calls. They did some bad things. And I'll tell you, kick the damn field goal. This analytics, how many games have guys got to lose? And like I saw the Lane Kiffin deal. All right. So let's start here on analytics. Before I start talking in general, is all those guys are like, well, he was looking at analytics and it gave him a better chance to win. You're telling me that failing and being down 7-0 gave you a better chance than kicking a field goal that third time on the first drive of the game that you went forward on fourth down? Gave you a better chance to win than being 7-3?
The first two times I was okay with it.
I want to know that computer model.
The first two times I was okay with it because I think he realized that we're going to have to score touchdowns to beat Alabama. But when
100%. But you got to score points when you get in the red zone.
Yeah, but when he got inside the red zone and then they turned it over and then they gave up that big drive for 80-plus yards as a touchdown,
Boom. That's
when I knew the game was over. I knew it was over right
then. And then he does it again at midfield, and you're like, all right, so here's the difference. Scott is 7-3, and I'm punting and pinning them deep, and at least they got to drive the field again.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, I mean, they were the better football team. I just listened to all you nitwits tell me that how much they were going to score on them and how great they were. You can't have it both ways. It's like the analytics guys are, well, if he'd have gone 40-1, well, I mean, if he didn't go 40, he wasn't going to win. It's like the climate change guys. It's like you can't look fucking hot. Oh, it's climate change. Cold, it's climate change. Climate change. So. You know, I mean, I want to get on something where I can't fucking lose. But in gambling, I can lose. You know? I mean, that's the deal. I want something that I can't lose on. But in gambling, I can lose. That is the way I felt watching that game.
Yeah.
You got to take points. You got to understand you're on the road. You got to keep your football team within reach. And I will tell you, he came off, and candidly, I think Kiffin is a bigger douchebag than I can enunciate in a podcast. That headset toss, and that was totally meditated. He had totally planned it out. If you're that fucking cheesy, and that's the best you can come up with, man, just, gentlemen, just, you're better off. He looked like a complete and utter nitwit with that girl talking to him, and he's tossing her up. I mean, tossing her, says it. Get your popcorn ready. Yeah, we got our popcorn ready. Get your ass kicked. It's 35-7. How's your popcorn? My popcorn's cold. Because I was, like, excited about this game, and, you know, it's not very exciting.
I mean,
that is the kind of stuff that I just don't understand. You know, keep your football team in the game. When they failed twice on fourth downs, and boom, it's 14-0, he took his team out of the game. I'm down 7-3, and they got a chance to drive on us if I'm the football coach. Understand I'm a gambling guy. Understand I'm old school. You can tell me, well, analytics guys, well, they gave his chance a better team to win. Well, he got his ass kicked. I might have had a chance to keep my team in the game. I grew up understanding that the longer you were in it, the better your opportunity, especially when you were on the road. I don't understand the analytics. All these guys with the, oh, you got to always go forward on fourth down. Oh, every time you punt is a loss. No, not always, bro.
Oh, man. A couple other things from last week. Georgia is as good as advertised. They came in with Stenson Bennett. JT Daniels was
good as their nose guard.
Man, he is. That defensive line is filthy. Filthy. They absolutely shut down Arkansas across the board. We kind of thought they would. That's why we took the under. I wanted to take Georgia, but JT Daniels was questionable. Everybody was on Georgia in that game. Line was still moving toward away from them. Georgia's good, man. I tell you what, if you like to gamble and you got some money to do it and you can go find a book, you can go bet right now. You can go bet Georgia to win the Natty at plus 125, and you can win Alabama to win the Natty at plus 125. If you got a couple of dimes and you want to make a few hundred bucks, or you got 10 dimes and you want to make a grand, I'm telling you, go put it down on those two teams to play to win the national championship, because there's nobody else I've seen that can compete with those two teams. And they're going to play each other twice. I have no doubt in my mind that when we see the SEC championship game, we're going to see it again in the national championship, because both those defenses are filthy. The linebacker play at Alabama is completely coming on. Even with the injuries, they're starting to get better. I think JT Daniels, he may be a question mark for a while this season. But Stenson Bennett, you got to remember, that kid walked on, played most of last year. He's got a great story, and he's got tremendous talent around him. And the coaching staff at Georgia, there's a lot of pedigree there. And I firmly believe that Kirby has finally figured it out. And I went back and did some digging. Go look around at the teams Kirby Smart has lost to since he's been at Georgia. Every team but one that he's lost to since he's been at Georgia all have NFL quarterbacks, every single one of them. And so it's not like he's losing clunkers or chunky games. He's losing to legitimate guys that are playing on Sunday that are playing quarterback. And this Georgia team is deep. Their defense is solid. And I think it's going to be really hard for anybody to put up a fight against them all season long. So like I said, if you got some dimes and you got some cheese and you want to put it out there, go find you a plus 125 on both those teams. Bet it both ways. And just know you're locking a profit in on one of them, because I cannot see how these two teams aren't playing for the national championship in 3 months.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one of those two teams is going to win it. You know, I really do. Kirby, offensively, they just don't look like a national title team, but damn, that defense is nasty. I mean, they are playing 1990. Football.
Yeah,
they're, I mean, good. They just punch guys in the mouth.
Yeah, they're physical up front. I mean, I like their coaching staff. I like that Will Muschamp's back there with Kirby Smart. I mean, I think they're due for a long run. It's going to be interesting, man. I think we've got a lot of football in front of us. I think we've still got this giant fat middle class of teams that have a lot of returners, that can get it done. I think you got some teams that have some returners that were finding out last year when the COVID year was fool's gold for some of these teams that were good. And it's all starting to kind of evolve. So I think the middle class is just going to beat each other up the rest of the season. And I have no idea who's going to be the number 3 and 4. I mean, Penn State and Iowa play this weekend. One of those teams.
Yeah, they'll play themselves out of
it. Yeah, they're going to play themselves out of it. I think Ohio State's not dead, but I don't think they can win it. But I definitely think they can win the Big Ten. The West Coast, I can't see anybody coming off the West Coast. And coming out of the Big 12, I mean, Oklahoma, good Lord of Friday. I mean, I have been waiting for this team to explode for weeks. And they just – I just can't see the offense go. Spencer Rattler is just so unimpressive to me for what he was built up to be. And they've got great running backs on that team. And
I want to bet Texas so bad this weekend. And it's just like you look at everything and you're just like, nothing tells me I need to bet Texas. You're like, I really want to bet Texas, you know. Because Oklahoma's looked awful.
Oh, they've been terrible.
They've been awful.
Been terrible. I have been underwhelmed.
Can you imagine? Like, we saw that list, and they laid out if Alabama and Georgia played all those teams and what the spreads were. Oklahoma was like +9. Or I think they were +9 to Bama, and they were +5.5 to Georgia. I'd have bet the fucking brakes off of that on both those teams. They will kick the shit out of that team.
Oh, man.
I mean, these teams can't move the ball.
No. Here's the deal.
I'm not convinced Oklahoma State's not going to win this league. I think Oklahoma State's the best team in the Big 12 because they're playing defense.
Playing a lot of defense.
And look, we won that game last week. I'm just telling you. I think Oklahoma State's got it. I think they're sneaking up on everybody. The mullet, no mullet. A mullet without a mullet is going to sneak up on everybody.
He may. Scotty, last week's behind us. Let's move on and get this week rolling. We're going to jump into Thursday night. First game we've got here, Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State. It's game 305 if you're on your rotation sheet. Over under here, 73. Arkansas State's getting 20 points at home. Coastal Carolina scores 48 points a game, get them up 14. They're 5-0 straight up, 3-1 to the number. Arkansas State scoring 32 points a game, giving up 45. They're 1-4 straight up, 3-2 against the number. I've already played this game. Give me the Shonts. Shonts playing Arkansas State on a short week. Arkansas State played Georgia Southern last week. Georgia Southern, with a brand new coach, ran roughshod over Arkansas State and this team. This Arkansas State team is not very good. I don't think they're going to be good in the Sun Belt. I don't think they're very good overall. Coastal's not scared to hang up some points. I don't think Coastal has a chance to get in the college football playoff, but don't you tell them that. I know they had the quarterback got nicked up last week. He finished the game in the boot. Everything I've been reading says he is go for tomorrow night. I like Coastal in this game laying 20. I've actually played him in the first half as well. I don't know that he's going to throw 10 or 12 passes in this game. I think they're just going to line up and run it straight over Arkansas State. And Butch, his head may explode having to watch this game. I like the Shonts big on Thursday night. And this game has a wild first half over-under. For all of y'all that have been with us all these years, we've played so many Thursday night first half unders. The over-under on this game is 37 in the first half. It took me all I had to walk away from taking the under in that one, but I'm going to take the Shonts to cover all the way around in this one.
A road dog. I mean, a road favorite. 37.5 first half under. Yeah, just FYI, I may still have to bet it on principle. But, Mark, I don't know why in the world you think Coastal Carolina is going to score a lot of points. I mean, this Arkansas State defense has only given up 6.7 yards a 9.7 yards of pass attempt. Yeah, that's pretty shitty. Just FYI. Oh, and Arkansas State only averages 2.8 yards a carry on offense. We got to fling it, and we can't stop the run or the pass. That sets up, in a bad way in this ball game. Yeah, I think Coastal covers this. I think they cover it early. I think it's ugly. Man, this is – ooh, Butch, you might should stay with Nick. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Next,
all I'm going to say.
Next game.
You clearly did not learn what you needed to know.
Oh, Scotty, I love you when you're rolling. Next game, let's go to Friday night. Let's go to Pac-12 after dark. This is a smooth 9:30, 10:30 kickoff. Arizona State is hosting Stanford. Game 311, 312 on your rotation sheet. Over-unders 51.5. Arizona State minus 13. Stanford scoring 29 points a game, giving up 26. They're 3-2 straight up, 3-2 against the number. Arizona State scoring 34 points a game, giving up 17. They're 4-1 straight up, 2-3 against the number. Scotty, what's your feel on this game?
Man, as I look at this ball game, it's look, we got a couple of texts. And you look at this, and they just beat Oregon, and everybody's fired up. And Arizona State has not met expectations by any stretch. And you're like, oh, man, this looks like a big number. How's this number not moving? How's everything look? I'll tell you how. Stanford offense is 104th in total yards. Arizona State defense is 16th in the country in total yards. Stanford defense, they're only 119th on the rush. And Arizona State's 27th in the country in rushing offense. When weaknesses match up against strengths and weaknesses match up against strengths and they both go to one team, yeah, that kind of leads to a two-touchdown favorite. Give me Arizona State.
Arizona State, this is a reverse line move. This line opened up at 11.5. This line is still moving up. If you need to go look, about 25-30% of the betting tickets are on Stanford. On Arizona State, but about 80%+ of the money is on Arizona State in this one, folks. This is a reverse line move. If you've never heard that term before and you're new to gambling, what we're talking about here is where you're starting to see the betting tickets coming in on Stanford, but the money's all on Arizona State. And so even everybody talking about Stanford, putting it in, betting it this way, you're still seeing the line move the other direction. It's a reverse line move. Take Arizona State to cover this 13. I like this spot for the Sun Devils. Herm's not bad, man. That only game he lost was BYU, and that's probably where most people saw him. And they were in that game. They had a ton of turnovers. And Vegas does not care about turnovers. Trust me. They are looking at the stats. They're trying to put the power rankings into this, and they take that all into factor. That team doesn't turn the ball over as much as they do in that BYU game. They beat BYU pretty handily, I think. They had a chance right there at the end until Algiers came in and knocked that ball out on that when that kid fumbled it. But I think Arizona State could be undefeated here. We've heard a lot of chirping about, is the locker room right? We were on the opposite side of them. I think this team's got it going. I'm not going to walk away from it. We were high on them when the season started. I'm going to ride with them again. Scotty,
Go look at their UCLA performance.
Ooh.
And I know that teams are like, you can't compare the two, but, you know. Dude, I'm telling you, they're the better football team. Strength on strength, weakness on weakness. I like Arizona State significantly more than I did until we got a request for me to start researching.
Oh, next game, Scotty. Let's go home. Let's put on that warm, cozy blanket. Let's go back to a place that we've been on for a few years now. Let's go to Saturday night. Let's go to College Station. Crimson Tide rolling in here after that big game they had last week against Texas A&M. Line here has creeped up from 17 all the way to 18.5. Over-under here is 51. I don't even have to go through the numbers for you. But Bama's 5-0 straight up, 3-2 against the number. A&M is 3-2 straight up, and they're 2-3 against the number. Scotty, how are we going to play this SEC matchup Saturday night?
We're going Bama, first half. That's how we roll. Dude, this is a gift. I mean, people still think A&M's a good football team. They do. They really do. And they're not. They showed it last week. Look, minus the run from their quarterback right before halftime, State dominated them. Calzada got a bust. It was a blitz. and State, candidly, one of State's best players blows a blitz, misses a tackle, and Calzada runs in for a touchdown. It's the only reason this game's close. I mean, Bama ain't going to miss. They got better players across the board. I'm still trying to figure out what Jimbo Fisher was doing when he talked about we got national championship. It's not a national championship team. And he doesn't see it in practice. He doesn't really believe that. I don't know what he's thinking. I guess it's I'm making $75 million and I want $9.5 million. So I'm going to sell all the Aggies that were better than we are. But at the end of the day, he doesn't think this is a national championship football team. If this guy thinks they can beat Georgia or Alabama, well, what they're putting on the field right now, then he doesn't understand what it takes to win in this league. Period, end of story. Because that team's not close.
No, not right now.
State beat them. Beat them comfortably. Handily, State played awful. They wet the bed in the fourth quarter. I can't believe they didn't come back and win. But candidly, Ole Miss is going to beat the shit out of these guys. They are. They're going to hammer these guys. And I can't see how Alabama's not going to do this both ways. Give me Bama first half. Give me Bama in the total. I'm going to ride these guys home.
Since we're eating chalk, let's move on to a big rivalry game in the SEC. Georgia-Auburn, the permanent rivals from the East and the West. This is game 357-358 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here is 46.5. Auburn at home getting 16 points. Both these teams are scoring 40 points a game. Georgia's giving up 4.6. They're 5-0 straight up, 4-1 against the number. Auburn's scoring, giving up 16 points a game. They're 4-1 straight up, 3-2 against the number. I'll take this one for you. I don't know who's going to play quarterback for Georgia, whether it's going to be Stenson Bennett or whether it's going to be JT Daniels. It's going to be a game-time decision. If JT Daniels plays, I think this game's going to get even more explosive. Kirby is going to lean on his defense in this spot. And I know Bo Nix had a game last week against LSU to come back and win that one. But they're going to get down there to Auburn. Bo Nix has played well at home. I get that. Tank Bigsby, I don't think, is 100%. I saw it last week in person. Then when I rewatched it, I don't see how that guy's 100%. He's a damn good running back. And I don't think he can carry the load against this Georgia defense. Let me go ahead and tell you again, just one more time. Georgia is giving up 4.6 points a game. And I think Georgia's defense is going to suffocate Auburn. If Bo Nix has to beat this team with his arm, I don't think he can do it. Georgia, on the flip side, they can run the ball. I think they can take care of it. I think that if Stenson Bennett plays and they throw 20 passes a game, I wouldn't be surprised. This offense last week against Arkansas, which I think is a really good defense, was crisp. They played well. They got them out. And they made Arkansas uncomfortable quickly. And I can see that exact same thing happen in this Auburn game. This Georgia team is on a mission, and I don't think they're going to walk away from this. This is a giant rivalry for these two teams. For all of y'all that don't know, that don't live down here, I know y'all think the Iron Bowl is a big game for Auburn, Alabama, and it is if you're in the state of Alabama. But Auburn and Georgia, they do not like each other. These fan bases don't like each other. These teams don't like each other. This is a serious game for both these spots. And I think both of these teams coming in off of big games. And Auburn got that win on the road at LSU last week. But that LSU team is fugazi. It's not very good. I think they're going to get out coached. I think they're going to get out played. I'm taking Uga on the road, laying 17. I don't like doing this very often, and I'm doing it fucking twice tonight. But I'm taking Uga minus 16 in this spot.
I have zero uncomfort level for Bama drilling Texas A&M. And I might have less for Georgia drilling them. This is the longest – it's the oldest rivalry in the Southeastern Conference. And there's nothing more hated than that. These schools are right on top of each other. People don't realize that Columbus, Georgia is essentially Auburn, Alabama. I mean, it is right across the state line. It is – these teams do not like – my brother, who's an Auburn guy, refers to Georgia as Thugger. He doesn't call him Uga. He doesn't call him Georgia. He calls him Bucko. They hate these guys. It's very near the level of Alabama. You know? And it's because of these how close these schools are together and how good the teams have been over the years. And I think this is a huge deal. I think Auburn's coming into this game with a cap gun. They're not on the same level that Georgia is. I think Georgia's going to dominate this football game. There are statistics that I can give you that I'll bore you with. But at the end of the day, the Auburn defense looks like a better defense than it is. This Georgia defense is nasty. They are going to eat this Auburn offense alive. It is not a two-dimensional offense. They are going to dominate them at the line of scrimmage. They're going to frustrate Bo Nix. They're going to make him make mistakes. And I just don't think this football team is good enough to recover. I think Georgia's the better football team. This is a gigantic number in this game. There are very few years that I would think, yeah, I think laying 16 is a good idea. Because I know how this game, I've been to the Georgia-Auburn game. I've actually been to both stadiums to this game. This is a brutal rivalry. Georgia's that much better than these guys. At the end of the day, rivalries are important. Playing with courage, playing with pride, playing with integrity is important. But if you are not as talented as the other guy and he keeps punching you in the mouth and he keeps showing up, you're going to lose. You're going to lose by the point spread. I think that's exactly what happens on Saturday.
Moving to Saturday night again, let's stay out east. Virginia Tech at home hosting Notre Dame. This is game 397, 398 on your rotation sheet. Over-under's 47. Virginia Tech at home getting 1 point. Notre Dame scoring 30 points a game, giving up 23. They're 4-1 straight up, 2-3 against the number. Va Tech scoring 23 points a game, giving up 15. They're 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Notre Dame got exposed last week against the Cincinnati team that came in. They were hungry. They played hard. They went up and they took it to the Irish in South Bend. Notre Dame is beat up, man. I mean, they have got all kinds of injuries. Left guards out. Looks like they're going to start their third-string quarterback in Drew Pine. He's probably the best option for him because he's got the best feet. Those running backs they've got are not being able to, they can't explode the way they're used to. They're only rushing for 80 yards a game. Va Tech came out hot. We saw them beat North Carolina. Then we watched them lay an egg against West Virginia. I think coming into Lane Stadium and Enter Sandman on Saturday night against this Notre Dame team, which probably should have already lost two or three games at this point, I think this is a loss for Notre Dame. Notre Dame's schedule from here on out is rough. Almost every team they play has a bye coming into them. I think Va Tech at home is hyped. I think this team's going to play well. I like Va Tech to get the win and get the and you know as a 1-point dog, but I'm going to take Va Tech to get the win in this one.
You know, the thing is watching last week, Notre Dame, and I didn't expect it because, you know, you look at recruiting rankings, and I understand that recruiting rankings are projections and, you know, but at the end of the day, it does equate to talent level. I mean, it really does. And, man, I didn't feel like Notre Dame was the better football team. Like, looking at the positions and the players and how they're executing. Like, I'm watching that football game, and I thought, man, I misgauged this game. I didn't think Cincinnati was going to be this much better than the players individually. I felt like Cincinnati was the better team. They had the better kids. And that was a big deal for me. That's also a glaring indictment for what's going to go on this weekend. You know, and, you know, it's not like Virginia Tech's a hotbed for recruiting or anything like that. But at the end of the day, it is a significantly more talented football team. I think this is a tough environment to play. I think Notre Dame's reeling. I think Virginia Tech's lying in wait. And I think this is just sets up perfect for them. And they strike. I think that's the deal. I like Virginia Tech this weekend. Simply where this stands and the poor showing that Notre Dame has given us to this point, because we're finding out that Florida State's not a very good football team.
No, fuck no.
So that first weekend when we thought, oh, that's an epic game and that's great, was really a shitty performance by Notre Dame. And then we get this weekend. And then you start to realize that there's a body of work here. And that Virginia Tech's probably the better football team. I'm going to take Virginia Tech. I'm going to take home. And let's ride the Hokies.
Let's go to Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers get this one going here. UTSA, beep, beep, traveling up there to play Western Kentucky, over under here 70.
Beep, beep.
There we go. Western Kentucky's laying 3.5 at home. We've talked about Western Kentucky a few times. We've been on them. Both these teams are scoring over 35 points a game. UTSA is only giving up 17 points a game, but Western Kentucky's giving up 35 a game. UTSA's 5-0 straight up. Western Kentucky's 1-3 straight up, but they've played a much tougher schedule than UTSA. UTSA's 4-1 against the number. Western Kentucky's
Hey, they wanted Bert Bielema's joint.
They
come
did.
On.
They, come on now. I got you there.
Stop discounting my Roadrunners.
And then I got Western Kentucky's 3-1 against the number. Western Kentucky's 4-0 to the over. UTSA is 1-4 to the under. Here's where I'm going with this game, man. I am going over, 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 over. I think this game is going to be a colossal shootout. If you haven't had a chance to watch either one of these two teams play, and I'm betting a lot of you haven't, it's going to be exciting. Bailey Zappe, for the quarterback for Western Kentucky, has already thrown for over 1,700 yards, 16 touchdowns, and only 2 picks. Frank Harris, the quarterback for UTSA, that guy is so fun to watch. He's thrown for 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but he runs the ball. Sincere McCormick, the running back for UTSA, I think he's leading the nation with 540 yards rushing. They can run it. But where you get into this thing, and you talked about strength and weaknesses early, this is a funny matchup in the sense that Western Kentucky, they don't run the ball. They're only averaging 79 yards a game, but they're throwing for 440 yards a game, 9.5 yards per attempt in this spot. They absolutely just fling it. On the flip side, defensively, UTSA struggles to stop the pass. I don't think they're going to be able to do it here, but flip it around. UTSA likes to run the ball, and they can run it, and Western Kentucky cannot stop it. They're giving up over 200 yards a game. But here's where it really gets funny is both of these teams play with tempo. They're both of them are averaging over 80 plays a game. We're going to see over 160 plays of offense in this game. And I just can't imagine how this game stays under 70 points. I think this game sails over the number. It's going to be super entertaining. Put it on your TV in the corner and just watch it, because I think it's just going to spin all night long. It's going to be fun to watch. I like the over at 70, and that's a big number.
Yeah. You know, the interesting part, you brought it up. When you line up strengths and weaknesses, man, that is where games get sideways. When you got a team that's great at something, the other team's awful at something, a lot of times it gets sideways. UTSA, this is so awesome. I mean, they are literally averaging 161 yards on the ground, but Western Kentucky's defense only gives up 215. I mean, you know, it's like, I even run for 200 yards a game, probably going to score some points, you know, but UTSA's offense scores. Gains 431 yards a game. Don't worry. That vaunted Western Kentucky defense is 117th in the country, giving up almost 460 yards a game. It's a hot mess. This is going, and Western Kentucky wants to fling it all over the field, throw it everywhere. UTSA's defense, don't worry though, they're only 71st on the pass defense. No big deal. It's all good. They're going to play solid defense. This has score written all over it. I mean, all over it. I mean, I think my favorite stat of the night is that neither one of these teams want to run the ball, and yet Western Kentucky rush defense – 126th in the country. No big deal. And I, we're good. You know, this has got Scorefest written all over it. I mean, their strengths match up on weaknesses, but yet none of them can stop the run, but no, they don't run the ball. It, this game may be 100 to 100. I mean, like, seriously, we may look up and it's 50 to 50. Like, it's 52 to 50. I mean, it is. This is going to be so much fun to watch. The over's the deal. I think UTSA ends up winning this game. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot of fun. For me, this is as much of a bet on full-on Wile E. Coyote versus Acme. That's what this is about for me.
Oh boy, here we go. Last game we're going to go to Scotty. Let's travel up to the boys in special underwear hosting Boise State. BYU game 341-342. Over-under's 57.5. BYU's laying 5.5 to 6 points in this game. Boise State scoring 32 points a game. They're giving up 22. They're 2-3 straight up, 3-2 against the number. BYU scored 29 points a game, giving up 19. They're 5-0 straight up, 3-2 against the number. Man, we rode BYU last year. It's time we get back on the train. This team, man, Kalani Sitake, he's a damn good coach. And he is doing wonders with this squad up there. They got a bunch of old-ass men playing for this team. I get it. But this is more an indictment for me. I mean, these two teams are – they recruit against each other. A lot of these guys are going to know each other. It's going to be a dogfight. But Boise State, to me, just does not look like what I'm used to seeing from Boise State. I like BYU here laying 5.5 at home in Provo. It's going to be rocking. It's a middle of the afternoon game, but I still think it's going to be rolling. I like BYU laying 5.5. Ride with the boys in the special underwear on this one.
Look, I'm going to tell you, the boys in the special underwear have surprised me as much as anybody in the country.
I would agree with
that. You don't lose the kind of quarterback they did. Look, they had some losses on the OL, too.
Yeah.
But you don't lose a guy like that, a quarterback. I mean, what was he, the fourth pick in the draft?
Somewhere up there.
I mean, this ain't Bama. I mean, you don't lose a guy who's a fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth. I don't know what he was in the NFL draft. You don't lose a guy, I think he was fourth, but you don't lose a guy like that who was that explosive and that because he was a great player. It just, you know what, we're going to start off 5-0. That says a lot about this talent and this program and what they're doing. And they have impressed me. And I will tell you, I misread them. I didn't think this team was going to be as good as they are. I don't think they're as good as their record. I do think the second half we're going to see them fall off. But until they do, let me explain something. Everybody's talking about Cincinnati. Oh, Cincinnati needs to make the playoff. Let's go compare their schedules.
They don't have a path.
BYU's played a hell of a lot better schedule. Those son of a bitches are 3-0 in the Pac-12. You're going to tell me a Pac-12 team deserves to get in? If BYU loses a game, if they're 11-1, you can convince me that BYU deserves to get in over a Pac-12 team. And I mean that because they've beaten teams that were projected to be better in the Pac-12. You look at schedule to schedule, they both go undefeated. In my mind, BYU gets in ahead of Cincinnati. Take Notre Dame out of the schedule. That's the bottom line. Yeah. As long as they keep winning and they keep performing what they're doing, is it overperforming what I expected? 100%. But the part of being a good gambler is understanding, you know, I might have misread this. And not having the ego and the pride to buy in. And right now, BYU's that team for me. They're that guy that I missed. And at some point, you got to start buying in. And this weekend's another opportunity to buy in. I think they're a good football team. I think they're better than Boise. At the end of the day, they're better than 5.5.
I like it. Scotty, that's the board that we got for this week. Let's go rapid fire and roll through some of the other games people want us to talk about and some interesting points. First one, Oregon State traveling to Spokane to play Wazoo. Oregon State's favored by 3.5 in this one on the road. When's the last time Oregon State was favored on the road in the conference play?
And it did take me a long time to find this. But it was at Colorado in 2014, which I think was late October, if I remember that. I didn't write the date down, but I believe it was late October. Yo, 7 years to be an in-conference favorite, which, by the way, was also 2014, before they were a road favorite before this year, too. But that is a whole different story. In conference, it's been 7 years since they were a road favorite. That's a fascinating game for me. Can't wait to watch it.
Jonathan Smith, love that guy, what he's got going on up there. Trash Can travels out to Lubbock to play Texas Tech. No love for these two. No love for TCU and Texas Tech. These teams don't like each other. TCU, man, they're coming off of two big games. SMU, they're coming off of the Texas loss. And then you're traveling out to this Texas Tech team that's 4-1 straight up. I still can't quite figure out what we got out of this. It's 1.5. I would probably – I'm going to look at the weather in this one. If the wind's blowing, I'm going to lean to the under. Otherwise, I'll pass this game. But, man, it's an interesting spot. I'm looking forward to watching this game. TCU's not very good. Yeah, give me Tech.
Give me Tech. They've gotten their guts ripped out 2 weeks in a row. They played their balls off 2 weeks in a row. They're going on the road out to West Texas. Give me Texas Tech.
I like it. Iowa, Penn State, -3 for Iowa. Iowa's at home. I wish this was a night game. It's in the afternoon in that 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock slot. I like Iowa here. Penn State, I've been impressed with what they're doing as a whole. But Iowa, man, that team just seems to kind of they have an identity. I mean, they lean on the defense. They play power football. I mean, Sean Clifford's going to have to play his ass off in this one to pull this one off. But I like Iowa in the spot.
I'm going contrarian on you right here. I don't know who the hell's going to win this game. I think they're both good football teams. I love the way Iowa plays. I mean, it's so easy to support those guys because they just play my kind of football. They're old school. They're basic. They knock the shit out of you. I love it. I got to admit, I love watching Iowa play. But I think these teams are very, very equal. But I'm going contrarian on you. I think the over in this game
interesting
may be the play.
And you are going off the rails in that one.
And here's the reason. Everybody was all so sold on the Iowa State and everything. Iowa figures out a way to score. And I think Clifford, being a quarterback, as talented as he is, hell, we're only talking 41 points. I mean, we're not talking about lighting up the damn scoreboard. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, 24-17 gets you a push. You know, I mean, this is a low number. And I just wonder, I'm not going to touch this game because I don't know who the better team is. And I think if it was at Happy Valley, I'd play them. I think Penn State's the better team. Man, going on the road, it's going to be a tough place. This is such a low number. We're not getting many points. You're basically picking a money line winner. But I do think we may see a few more points than people think.
I'll tell you one I got for you, Scotty. Let me roll you out some money line parlays and playing some dogs here. I got three of them. I got Tulane, FAU, and East Carolina. All these teams are dogs, somewhere between 3.5 to 10 points in East Carolina's point. I think all these teams are live dogs. Tulane against Houston. I think Houston's a paper tiger. FAU's playing UAB. FAU's done a really good job against UAB. Over the last several years with Lane Train, and I think they're picking it back up with Willie Taggart. And East Carolina with Holton Ahlers, we've talked about this kid for like, I feel like ever. against UCF. Dylan Gabriel's out, man. Broke his collarbone. Obviously, UCF dropped it last week. I know they're going down to the bounce house. You're getting 10 points. I'm going to be playing all these teams underdog. I'm going to be betting them with the points, but I'm also going to put these teams in a sprinkle on the money line, three-team round-robin parlay, in trying to get me some 6-1 and 8-1 in some spots if I can pull this thing off.
So I'm going to give you another little bit of a difference. The Ole Miss Arkansas line I have looked at repeatedly. And I just feel like Arkansas, man, they confused them so much last year. And that means Ole Miss, man, he had such a, and I feel like he's at home. He's going to step up. But at the end of the day, can their defense, you got to make Arkansas one-dimensional. You have to stop their run. And I don't know that Ole Miss can do it. And especially as he starts to get more healthy coming out. Georgia was able to just make them a one-dimensional team. I just don't know that Ole Miss has got to do it. I'm going Arkansas money line. Because Arkansas doesn't cover. This is not a close. They either win straight up or they don't cover 6. So you decide where you want to go as you're picking this. For me, it's worth the number to take Arkansas to win the game straight up. Road team, I think, is 7-1 in this against the spread. So just keep that in mind as well. But I think Arkansas's got a chance. And the other team that I like, you're gonna laugh. Give me some Illinois whiskey. Give me some Burt Bielema going home, staying at home. He's got whiskey coming in. That's a gut-wrenching win. I'm going to take Arkansas and Illinois straight-up money line combo and see if I can't get me a little 1,400-1.
I like where you're going with this. Last three games we're going to talk about. First, Nebraska, Michigan. I'm taking Nebraska plus 3.5 at home. I'm going to play them on the money line as well. I like this spot for Nebraska. Nebraska's not that bad. We all threw them in the garbage after that game against Illinois. They're actually
five. They can play special teams, or some of the bitches may not have lost.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that bad. Michigan is very one-dimensional. They just run the ball. Nebraska's run defense is actually pretty good. They're only giving up 122 yards a game. I think they could shut this team down. This is a big game for Nebraska. We're talking about nighttime. We're talking about Lincoln. This would be a huge, huge win for Nebraska. And not only that, Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh do not like each other. And this goes way back. I mean, back to when he was at UCF way back. I like Nebraska in this spot, but I'm going to make you give me some picks on a couple other ones. Are you going to take Bowling Green laying 14 against Akron, or are you going to take Akron getting 14 points in this game?
I'm going to take Bowling Green. I'm not an Akron guy, but that is not my Maxion favorite. I'm going again against the books because they're actually going the other way on this number. I like Central Michigan laying the 6 at Ohio. I just think they're a better football team. Look, Jim Allen's a good dude. And we both are friends with a friend of his, and I hope he's successful and it's great. And he's gotten thrown into a really difficult environment, but we're not picking friends. We're picking winners. I think Central covers 6 at that is my favorite MAC play of the week. There are some games this week though in the MAC that are, to me, that's going to form my opinion of the MAC this weekend. Like, I'm stoked. Like, I'm going to be watching MAC football Saturday. Everybody else is going to be watching, you know, Iowa and all these things. I'm going to be watching MAC football. Like, that's going to be the game on my main TV. Like, I know when Chase's games are. I've already scheduled the tape, a couple of MAC games, so I can come back and watch them on Sunday. That sounds like a total degenerate, so I guess I am. But at the end of the day, to me, this weekend's the weekend we figure out who the Mac is. And so I can't wait to watch it. But I do think Central covers by a touchdown.
Here's the last one I got for you. 0-11 combined. UConn traveling to Amherst to play UMass. UConn's laying 3.5. How about UConn getting a new coach and actually starting to put it out there a little bit? But here's the nugget I found this week. You're not going to believe this. I'll put this on Twitter so anybody that's still listening can go check it out. You remember Noel Mazzone, the old offensive coordinator? Apparently, UConn is paying him a few hundred bucks a game to devise a game offensive game plan week to week that they can implement now that they don't have a head coach.
No.
I swear to God, I read it in one of the papers up there because I was doing some digging around in that spot because UConn played better since
like Noel Mazzone. I think he's a really good football coach. The worst thing he did was getting tied up with Rich Rod and those guys out west. Or not Rich Rod, Sumlin out west. I actually think that guy, when that guy was at Ole Miss, he did a really good job. I think Noel Mazzone's a good football coach. That's the hell that you ask me. They're talking to the right guy. I think Noel Mazzone's a good football coach.
Well, their offense,
he's a really good offense coordinator.
Their offense has looked better, and, I mean, they must have hated Randy Edsall because they're playing a lot better now that they've got this interim coach in. That's a game of America right there, UConn and UMass. Get it done. Brother, what are you going to go with? Let's wrap this up. Hold on.
Before we get to favorites, don't lay off Kentucky -3. Don't sleep on the Commonwealth. Ed Orgeron, baby. You take my man, Eddie Orgeron, and he is – what is his record? You know this. When he doesn't have Joe Burrow at LSU, what is he?
I think he's 7-8 in SEC play.
And I will get the number wrong. I'll get the number wrong. He is one game under 500 as a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Combining Ole Miss – USC and LSU without Joe Burrow as a head coach, he's one game under 500.
Be a big win.
No
for
chance
Kentucky.
He makes it through this season. Mark Stoops, take the -3. They're going to spank Tigers.
Scott, favorite play, what do you got?
You know what? I'm taking Bama. I'm going Bama. I'm on Bama. In the first half, and kind of like I watched them give a good effort. They are not ready for Bama. That is the bottom line. I'll take Bama. Bama's going to come out focused. I'll take the Bama first half line.
Give me the Shants -20 Thursday night. Let's get this thing rolling early. Let's get it rolling hard. Let's get back on the streak, Scotty. 26-18-2 on the season. We're still above the Mendoza line. Need to improve after last week. Let's get this rolling. Folks, y'all can hit us up on Twitter, share us, give us some reviews. We love all the comments, negative or positive. We love hearing from you. That being said, we'll see you next week. We love you.